The longevity of the Telluride's AIDS benefit rests on one simple fact. HIV/AIDS remains a critical public health issue. TAB is committed to continuing to raise awareness and inspire people to give to this cause. Until there are no new infections and those living with the disease have their basic medical needs met. Sarah Gluckstern has worked in the HIV and AIDS field for 25 years. She's been involved with the Telluride AIDS benefit since 2015, stepping into the board president role in 2021. This is Susan B. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. Delighted to be able to be talking with Sarah about the state of the HIV virus, why and how TAB makes a difference on the Western Slope, the Front Range, and in sub-Saharan Africa. For the record, the student fashion show is February 16th and again on February 17th. TAB Week begins on February 20th. The fashion show is February 23rd through February 25th, and the sample sale, which is the end of the Telluride's AIDS Benefit Week, is February 27th. Sarah, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So please bring us up to date on the status of this pandemic.
So the HIV epidemic has certainly evolved over the last 41 years, but to date, about approximately 40 million people have died worldwide from AIDS. And there are almost 40 million people worldwide living with HIV. In the United States, it's a somewhat different picture. Infections have gone down enormously once the drug cocktail came on the market in the mid-90s. The whole landscape shifted. There have been a lot of other developments. But we still have approximately 1.2 million people living with HIV in the United States. Approximately 1 in 8 of those people do not know they have the virus. And we still see approximately 35,000 new infections every year in the United States.
Wow. Thank you. That's very sobering. Now, could you share a bit of TAB's history, including the fashion shows, which is now in its 30th year?
I'd be happy to. TAB was started really as an effort by some local Telluride people who were trying to support one of their dear friends, a man named Robert Presley. Robert was many things. One of the things he was a costume and fashion designer. He was a whiz with getting things out of the free box and turning them into the most fantastic, clothing finery you can imagine. Robert had been living with HIV and ultimately AIDS in the early 90s, in an era when having AIDS wasn't like today. The drug cocktail didn't exist. And his medical bills were sky high. There was also very few providers in Colorado, period, but certainly on the Western Slope available to help him. In 1994, his friends got together and said, Robert, we would really like to put on a benefit for you to help provide for your medical expenses and care. And Robert so graciously said, thank you, but I would prefer that whatever money we raise go directly to an organization called WestCAP, which was Western Colorado AIDS Project, which was operating out of Grand Junction at the time, was the only service organization available to AIDS patients on the Western Slope. The first year was a comedy show and a dance-a-thon. It turned quickly into a fashion show. And yes, this year is our 30th anniversary of putting on shows. And we've just grown and grown since then.
Okay. Thank you very, very much for that. Now, could you reflect on the roles you played in TAB's universe since joining the organization in 2015?
I was so fortunate when I decided to move back to Telluride in late summer of 2014. I had spent my career prior to that working in the public health and mostly HIV-specific field. And I was unsure what I was going to do when I came back to Telluride, and everyone was like, you need to work with the Telluride AIDS benefit, which I had always known about since I had grown up here, but I had never been able to actually attend an event because it always fell at the wrong time of year. So I sent my resume in to the ED at that time, who was Stash, and basically offered my services however they were going to need me. And I came on that year essentially as an intern. I worked for about a month, just helping behind the scenes however I could, and quickly that Michelle Vaughn took over as executive director after that year. I was brought onto the team ultimately as managing director, so I was like the right-hand man for Michelle. And I served as executive director in 2018, which was one of the greatest honors of my life. I stepped aside the following year to join the board, and then in 2021, over the summer, I took over as president of the board, and I'm truly, truly honored to serve in that role to this day, working in tandem with Jessica Galba, our executive director, and the rest of our fantastic board.
Thank you. So through those roles, how has TAB impacted your life and work, and how have you impacted and contributed to TAB?
The gift that TAB has given me by allowing me to be part of the organization is really hard to even narrow down, but I would say the reality of being able to move to Telluride, to a small town where I assumed I was going to have to really shift my career and life passions, the fact that TAB existed so I could step into this role and stay involved in the HIV world despite not being in a major city any longer is just huge for me to be able to keep my passion around the cause still going is so powerful for me. The fact that we rehearse down in the Palm Theater and that the students do the student show in the Palm Theater. A little bit of background, if people don't know the story, is that the Palm Theater is named after Michael Palm. Michael was my dad's business partner, my parents' best friend, and he was a man living with AIDS in the 90s. He was an activist, he was a philanthropist, he was a musician, and he was really like my uncle. And the fact that I get the honor to walk into the Palm Theater on a regular basis, see his picture, and be reminded that he's, you know, still here with us, and that TAB is still forging forward, continuing on the work that I know he believes so deeply in, and that, by extension, my parents went on to believe so deeply in, is just incredibly powerful. And as far as my contribution or impact with TAB, it's always at the front of my mind. I'm always trying to make connections, always looking for a way that we can bring other community members or people outside of our community into the event. I'm thrilled every year to put a fundraiser out for my birthday, that kind of thing. The cause is just so close to me that it's in my bones now. And I love every second that I get to be involved.
Great. So there is a direct line between the fashion show and your beneficiaries. So talk about the theme of this year's show, and then who are the nonprofits that benefit from the bounty raised from that show, and how many dollars over the years has TAB raised on its behalf? Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yes. No, so to this point, to put it in perspective, in the very first year, I believe we raised $10,000. Since then, we've raised over $3 million. It's a lot of money, and it's really special that it goes straight to our beneficiaries, who are mostly in Colorado. We have one still in Africa. We've ebbed and flowed through different beneficiaries over the years. The African nonprofit we still work with is called the Ethiopian Family Fund. They do great work with women living with HIV through microfinancing and education projects. Mm-hmm. We also support the Children's Hospital Immunodeficiency Project in CHIP at the Children's Hospital in Denver. There's also Brother Jeff's Community Health Initiative, which is in the Five Points neighborhood of Denver. And Brother Jeff is really a perfect example of one of our really on-the-ground frontline workers. He does lots of community public health work with a focus on HIV in a very at-risk neighborhood. And he actually will be joining us this year for all three nights. To get the join us on stage and get the crowd excited. He's really one of the most inspiring individuals I've ever met in my life.
I would agree.
We also support We support a lot of free testing and education, which is really one of our major focuses. You can receive free testing at the Telluride Medical Center, at the Ogunpagre Medical Center in Norwood. We also support the GoLab free clinic. You can also get a free HIV test over the counter at Sunshine Pharmacy in Telluride. And the need for these types of efforts are just ongoing. It turns out that the Moab Free Health Clinic told us that they are the only location that someone can receive a free HIV test outside of Salt Lake City in the entire state of Utah. So they, they need that money.
Okay. Could you share some of the examples, some of these beneficiaries the ways that they've used the TAB dollars to make a difference in the lives of their franchises. I'm sorry.
Yes. What is special about TAB money is that it is deemed unrestricted funding. There is government assistance certainly out there. People may have heard of the Ryan White CARE Act. The U.S. government does provide specific funds for HIV and AIDS-related needs, but they are very, very, very specific. Usually they're for medical treatment, medicines, doctor's visits, that sort of thing. When we give our TAB funds to our beneficiaries, they are allowed to take that money and spend it wherever the need is most important. And in a lot of cases, especially when you're talking Western Slope, Colorado, you know, someone may have to drive a really long way to go see their care provider. They may need to take a bus. They may be facing eviction from an apartment or unable to buy healthy groceries. All of those are really distinct barriers to getting the care and continuing the care that you need, because most HIV vets, for instance, require 300 to 500 calories meals before you can take the medication. Well, if someone can't afford a meal for themselves, their HIV meds are not going to be working and doing what they're supposed to do to keep them undetectable and untransmissible. So we love the fact that when we give our funds out, our beneficiaries know they can give them to their clients for whatever purposes are deemed the most important, and it does not have to fall under, like, the government purview, as other funding often does.
Okay, thank you. How do you see the future of HIV/AIDS pandemic? What kind of treatments are out there today, and is there a cure in the near term?
So the HIV and AIDS pandemic has certainly evolved quite a bit in the last 40 years. It is certainly, if you live, you have to think about the United States versus, say, perhaps Africa. There are a lot of differences in availability to resources, but within the United States and parts of the world, there is access to a medication that's commonly referred to as PrEP, which stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. And essentially that is a daily pill, or in some cases now it's become like a monthly shot, which is pretty remarkable, that you take if you are HIV negative, and it prevents you from being able to contract the virus. That has been a game changer for so many people who would be considered at risk. And they just continue to fine-tune the PrEP treatments, so it's making it easier and easier for people to keep up with it. Not to mention that if you are living with HIV, there's a plethora of medications now that are out there that really actively fight the virus. There's a phrase in the HIV world called U equals U, which stands for undetectable equals untransmittable, which is a really big leap forward for the HIV community. What it means is that if you can no longer detect the HIV virus in somebody's body, they do not have enough virus to actually transmit it to another person. So the goal with any person living with HIV is to get them to an undetectable level, which most of these medications can do as long as they're taken according to the regimen. And as far as a cure, I don't think that anybody knows when or if that will happen. There certainly is no vaccine yet, but this PrEP model is a highly effective one. If community members know to access PrEP, they really can remain they can stay safe from the virus for the rest of their lives. And that being said, even anybody who is living with HIV today, if it hasn't evolved into actual AIDS, there is no reason that any of these individuals should not be able to live like a long and healthy and thriving life. And they'll live with HIV as a chronic and manageable illness, but will live exactly the life they hope for.
Thank you very, very, very much for all that information. Looking forward to seeing you at the fashion show. This has been Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with the board chair of the Telluride AIDS Benefit, Sarah Gleckstern. Thanks for your time, Sarah.
Thank you, Sue.